Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from Mark, the first chapter. The unclean spirit convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "Who is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Dear friends of Christ, kind of an interesting story today, and I want you to picture yourself on the Sea of Galilee, the northern Sea of Galilee. The town is Capernaum, and I've been there. I've stood on those shores, sitting in the small synagogue there in Capernaum, listening to Jesus. And I've been in that synagogue. It's a large synagogue from the 500 AD, but underneath that they found just a small synagogue, much smaller than our fellowship hall, actually. And that's where Jesus was at. And so they'd meet in these large gathering rooms every Sabbath, every Saturday, and they'd do what we do today. They'd hear the Bible read, and then the rabbi, the teacher, would expound on the words of God. And so imagine yourself, you're in church there in the synagogue, and you're listening to the preacher, Jesus. Now, that's a worship leader. That's somebody we ought to be listening to. It'd be great to hear from Christ himself every single day. And with the technology of the internet, how easy would it be for God to just show up and be at every pulpit and every single day, every single week for us? But that's not how he chooses to do it. He chooses to put his words through pastor's mouth. And there they were, though, and there you are, you're sitting before him, you're getting to hear Jesus preach. What a unique opportunity, and he's preaching so powerfully, more clearly than you've ever heard the Bible preached before. And it's waking you up, and you're going, "Wow, I've never heard the Bible spoken like this. It's clear, it's powerful, it has authority." And he speaks as if he's God. He speaks like he knows what he's talking about. And as you sit there, you're amazed, and his words grab your attention, and your soul is convicted, your heart is convicted, and all the hearts there are convicted, and suddenly an evil spirit stands up, because it's convicted too. And it interrupts the flow of the service, and the evil spirit denounces Jesus and says, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know you come to destroy us. I know who you are." Well, thank you, Satan. Thank you, demons, for pointing him out, right? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And Jesus isn't moved by all this disturbance. It's like he expected it, and he speaks sternly but firmly and decisively with authority and power to the spirit, and he says, "Silence, come out of him." Now that's a worship service. Haven't been to one like that. Jesus literally throws the evil spirit out of the man. And the demon doesn't like it. Demons don't like the Holy One of God. And he shrieks as he comes out of the man, and the man begins to shake violently and convulse, and you stand there and you're stunned. What's going on? What is this about? A man who talks to evil spirits, a man who drives out demons. Who is he? And of course, what would you do? Who would you tell? You'd have a story to tell. And that's the point. Jesus is revealing himself as being the one who is God himself on earth in human flesh, and he has a power over Satan, and he has a power over sin, and he has a power over demons. And who are you going to tell about it? The power revealed in Epiphany is our theme, God's power in Christ. This morning, you're not sitting in a synagogue in Capernaum, though. You're sitting here in a pew in First English Lutheran Church in Spencer, Iowa. And yet, while you sit there, do you know who's here this morning? Jesus is here. Christ is here. And we can't see Him, but you can hear Him. And He's here this morning. How do I know that? Because Jesus gave us His own words and His own promise. Wherever two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in their midst. Okay, so you got the promise. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is among them. And Jesus is always saying different things like that. He's always saying strange things that are different from the things that everybody else is talking about and all the other teachers of the world are talking about. He says things you won't hear anywhere else. Other religions will tell you, oh, you can be a better person. You can make a mark on the world. And you can please God if there is one. And of course, they're wrong. We can't please God. We can't get ourselves to heaven. Jesus' message is different. You need Me. I'm the only way. I'm the only truth. And He says it with complete boldness and confidence. I'm your King. I am God in human flesh. And I've come to earth to deliver you. I've come to earth to save you because you're lost and you're condemned. Repent, believe in the gospel, and be saved that you might live. Those words of Jesus are powerful and spoken with authority. Not only to say things like that, but the power and authority to actually do something about it. To bear all those sins and that darkness and all that the Satan and demons and demon possession on Himself. And you say, well, I'm not demon possessed. We are all possessed with some form of sin. Now, we may not be directly possessed by a demon, but sin possesses us. Sin has its way with us. And sometimes we don't have any control over it in our lives. Jesus is always saying different things. You know, Jesus' words have great power and great authority, and He's always looking to share that power with other people. Our text says, they, the disciples and Jesus, went to Capernaum, northern Sea of Galilee, and the Sabbath, Saturday, came. Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. He loved telling people about the kingdom of God. He loved teaching and sharing the truth. He wanted people to know that He was their King. They needed to believe in Him. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're not going to be saved. And the people were amazed at His teaching, because He taught them as one who had authority, not as the other teachers of the law. Jesus taught differently. It's like He's the author of the Bible. And He is. While He didn't write the words, He is a direct author of the words that came out. He handles the Bible like nobody else. He has mastery over the content, because the content is truth. And the other teachers of the law would take this truth and they'd massacre it. They'd take this truth and they'd give all kinds of opinions of what they think this truth is supposed to mean. And they'd spew their own opinions, their own personal thoughts, and interject their personal thoughts into the Bible. Well, what do I think about homosexuality? Well, I don't care what this says. This is what I think. This is how I feel. And I'm going to find other words in here that support what I think and what I feel. And they take Scripture and they twist Scripture and they make the Bible be something that it's not, a lie. They tell stories that aren't even related to the sacred text. That kind of preaching is happening around the world today. Pastors still fill their sermons with personal stories about them and their lives and how they had an interaction with God and this is what God said to me and this is how God has treated me and they have all these personal stories and they get away from the text and they get off, their heart leads them and their stories lead them wherever their heart desires, and that's where their message goes. They give opinions that are poorly substantiated by God's Word. The Bible calls some of these people false teachers. 100 times in the New Testament alone, the Bible talks about false teachers. People who stand up in these pulpits and say, the words I'm speaking are God's words, you better listen to me. But Jesus taught with authority and power. He was the author of the words. And He often prefaced His teaching by saying, I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, you remember in the old King James, verily, verily, right? Truthfully, truthfully. And he spoke powerfully. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus also said, my words are true. My words are spirit and my words are life. Let me allow you just a moment to illustrate how Jesus' teachings are different using that children's book, The Little Engine That Could. You remember the story. There was toys that needed to be delivered to the children on the other side of the mountain, but all the big engines, they just refused to accept the job. So the little engine volunteered, but he didn't know if he could make it up over the mountain or not with the load of the toys for the children. And like all the false teachers, he gets up in the mountain and he says, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Right? Now, we know how the story ends. He talks himself all the way up to the top, and then he says on the way down, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. Right? Well, that's what the false teachers say. I think you can get to heaven. I think you can be good enough. I think you can, I think you can, I think you can. And it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done. You can, you can, you can. Just try harder, pray more, give more. You can trust in God. Put your faith into practice. You can be what God created you to be. Just go out and think you can, and think you can, and think you can. But what if you can't, and what if you can't, and what if you can't? All of a sudden there's that uncertainty, there's that doubt that rises up. There's no doubt in God's word. Because God's message is you can in Christ, not because you have or you ever could, but because he's done it all for you. Without Jesus, there's nothing. Without Jesus in your life, there's nothing. There's no power over the darkness. There's no power over the unclean spirits. There's no power over the sin in your life. Nothing. And Jesus comes to rescue us. He says, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost, that which is damned, that which is condemned. And Jesus talks about a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost son. And he comes and he gathers us and he searches for us because we're lost and we're in the land of darkness. And he rescues us. As we come to worship this morning, Jesus is still speaking to us through his word. The Holy Spirit is still grabbing our hearts. It's still convicting us of sin and telling us we're small, broken people. And there's no hope without a Jesus. None. Lord, have mercy upon me. It throws us on our knees, and before our knees, we bow before the Lord and we say, Lord, I have to make myself small because I'm not large. I am nothing before you. Nothing. And the Lord has mercy upon us. And his mercy echoes in the words of the hymn, Blessed Jesus, at your word, we are gathered all to hear you. Let our hearts and souls be stirred, and now to seek and love and fear you. By your teachings, sweet and holy, draw from earth to love you solely. Every time we open up that Bible, every time we hear God's word, we stand in amazement. How small we are, how broken we are, how condemned and lost. And yet how great is love. Why? Because the Lord comes to us. It's a miracle. The Lord reveals himself to us. And yet there was one man in that worship service that wasn't interested. There was one man in that church that morning, that synagogue that morning, didn't care what Jesus had to say. And he spoke up with a loud shriek, a demon-possessed man in the middle of the service. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What do you want with me? The demons were at church. What were they doing there? Can you imagine demons at church? You know the devil still loves and his demons still love to come to church? They're in church every Sunday. Sometimes preaching from the pulpit. Jesus is in church every Sunday. He's here too. But the demons are as well. The region around the Sea of Galilee, that whole region was called the region of darkness, the land of darkness, because that was the land of unbelief. That was the Jews who never believed in God. The Jews who were cut off from the covenant. And Jesus was up there preaching in this land of other gods, land of darkness. All kinds of things were happening up there. Sin reigned. Immorality. That area had greater problems than demon possession. Sin literally possessed them. And Jesus went into that area and he preached. He went into that area and he did miracles. He went into that area and he cast out demons. Why? Because Satan never leaves us alone. Satan wants us to be bound by the darkness. He wants the darkness in our lives and in our world today to envelop us and to cover us and to fill our hearts so that we then, being stiff-necked and stubborn people, say, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What do you plan on doing to us? Destroy us? Well, come and try." Let me read you a short snippet from The World of Flesh and the Devil book. I like how this book says it. Talks about the devil. "Wherever there is mischief afoot, Satan is sure to be involved. He is the one who precipitates wars, encourages people in their lusts, causes them to question the Word of God, and tells them they can play with sin and win. He stands by every drunkard's side. He watches over the shoulder of every thief. He feeds words into the mouth of every blasphemer. He controls the mind and the thoughts of every pornographer. He sits beside the statesmen in the chancelleries of the world as they decide the destiny of nations. And he laughs silently beside the graves of his victims. And he claps with glee when they slide into eternity without the knowledge of Jesus." That kind of darkness certainly puts things into perspective. We need someone with power. We're just sinful little people. We need someone with authority. And Satan is found in all this bad. And why does he come to church? 2 Corinthians tells us Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And yet the Bible calls him the father of all lies. He whispers into the ears of sinners and tempts them. Don't believe in God. Don't follow in His ways. You can be what you want to be. You can do what you want to do. You are your own person. And Jesus has this to say about Satan's work. The devil comes and he takes the word away from their hearts so that they do not believe and they are not saved. Revelation tells us that Satan accuses God's people day and night until they fall away. The demons spend a whole lot of time seeking to destroy faith. And if you think they're not working in your hearts today, if you think they're not working in your children's lives today, they try to convince you that your soul is damned, that Jesus can't save a sinner like you, or that you are so safe and secure in your sins that your sins can't condemn you, that your sins can't harm you, that God doesn't get angry with sin. There's no anger in God. And it's all a lie. What are we to do? How are we to fight this darkness? Well, we have Jesus. And that's no small thing. He has the power and the authority over darkness. He has the power and authority to drive out demons. He has the power and the authority over my sin. And He bore all my sin on the cross. And He said, "It's finished. It's done. I'm victorious." And the sin goes screeching out of our bodies. And Satan goes screeching out of our lives. As we make ourselves small, He has the power to save us from the devil's might. As Revelation says, they've conquered the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And that's why Paul writes, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And Jesus sends the devil packing. And we small sinners live in that freedom. We live in that joy. His word enables us to confess these words with Paul: I'm sure that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights nor powers, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are Satan and his demons here? So be it. Who cares? They have no power over us. They flee at his word. They flee at his command. Epiphany. This is your Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.